This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Man, I had a good evening downstairs. Had the R&B going. I was doing my Gordon Ramsay. I made myself some homemade Mongolian beef,
I'm
man.
About to cuss at you.
It was a whole vibe down there. And I say all that to say this. It's been more than 200 days, Rhapsody. You really should be here. You're missing out. I'm going to leave it at that.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rhett. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
In the world, you know thoroughness.
Bust off
and sit the high bow dead on your lips.
Like 2/3 of a brick.
Panera and kiss
the crystal white fluffy parts.
That's
that
the intro. We drop it again.
The plan is to stash y'all.
Cash y'all.
So we so strong.
They gotta put it in glass jars.
Niggas try to smoke me out.
Then
smoke me out.
Cause the rims on my new joint be poking out.
I'm about to have no feelings. Shit is deep.
Do they dance with the devil when they sleep?
I wake up gripping the air.
Wishing the hair. Shit that they kick in your ear. When your soul drift in the air. I had to do that one. Everybody knows what happened. The Lox, Wash, Dipset, and the Verses. It was a hell of a night. So I had to do that one to start out. And me and my special guest. Oh, first off, before I even announce that we in the show right now, let me just apologize to my guest, Alexander MF. I have been instructed that it's similar to Weezy F Baby. If you're not gonna say the whole thing, don't say it at all. So from now on, he will be in the realm of a pimp named Slickback.
A pimp named Slickback.
He will be Alexander MF. You got to say the whole thing every time. Yes, sir. With that said, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am your boy, J-Dot Flan, and I have my homeboy, Alexander MF, with me in the building. I guess we will be representing the White Pants Society. I've officially made you a member.
Oh, shit, son.
What I have to do to earn that title?
Nothing.
And there it is, y'all.
Yeah.
Anybody can be a member.
Got to thank y'all and, you know, you the listener for tuning in, spending some time with us to just, you know, talk about some nonsense or whatever it is we do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly and humbly appreciate that. I have had like a banner month in the last month or so in terms of monetization and things like that. I'm not making any real money, so don't get it twisted, but I'm making more than I was previously. So you all appreciate it. All right. So jumping into the proceedings this evening, two reasons. I mentioned that I played that intro clip from Band from TV, mainly because of the Versus battle where, you know, Jadakiss, I think, made his claim. I mean, it's indisputable right now. Top five, dead or alive, greatest Versus performance I've ever seen. I do want to warn people.
Wait, let me just say this. I do want to warn people that if ever you happen to be in the presence of my man J-Dot Flan when Versus is on and my man is watching that and into it, just be prepared because it is like you are at a show and he is a fan. He is a fanboy. It was a great experience to watch him processing and absorbing and enjoying his moment. I was enthralled.
It was a great moment for hip hop, man. Like I don't get many of those moments these days as, you know, an 80s baby, you know, getting a chance to just like vibe out to, you know, the music and things that was important to me. I got to feel black for a night, you know. I don't normally get to feel black.
Does this happen? Daily?
This doesn't happen for me, especially since I moved here to Texas. Like
I have a question.
I'm in a desert of blackness.
Do people not get to feel their race because they're around the other races?
All right, this is me.
Because I'm gonna tell you something. I had an experience this week similar too. But go ahead.
I don't know what other people get to feel. I know that, you know, I have a label right now. I've been labeled the whitest black man. Most people know. I'm a big fan of Oreos. Can we tell your
full name on this thing? Because, I mean, it's a real white thing, but we won't even worry about it. Hey. White man Flan Flanagan.
You know, I did an episode called My Middle Name is White. And, my middle name, like, it's not a joke. It's not a turn of phrase. My middle name is actually white. If you needed any more evidence of...
through his veins.
my cultural struggles. There you go. But I was nice. I got to be black. I don't know, you know, because I don't inspire, I don't engender the type of fear that sometimes I feel like I should as a black man. And I wonder if that night, because I had it turned up as loud as I could.
I'm going to tell you something. When I was coming down the halls to get to the apartment door, I heard it happening all the way down there.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, he's on fire.
I'm hoping that, like, yeah, that just let him know. It ain't, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Like, you know, don't let the baby face get you. I'm similar to Jadakiss in a lot of ways. I do want to warn people, like, mixtapes are coming. I'm not saying for me, but understand what Jadakiss did. Jadakiss made it. He was the coolest man on the planet for, like, you know, a couple hours. And so he made it for any dude that used to be a rapper in the 90s that now has a dad bod and a receding hairline. Like, he put the battery in the back. Like, it's... We can still be cool. We can still do this. I got a feeling like mixtapes is coming from all directions at this point. You're going to get a lot of old has-beens or never was. I'm in that never was category, so I can say it. Rappers is going.
I don't know. I think we like qualify dropping. For has-beens and never was.
Because I feel like doing so. I feel real. Like, you know, MF. You, Alexander MF.
You're all right. It can be MF at times, but Alexander MF has to be dropped for the people that do happen to listen, that may want to research. They can find out some things about the AMF.
You told me. It was Weezy on Weezy F baby turn.
Weezy F baby.
Please say the baby or don't say it at all. Don't
say it at all.
That's where we at. But yeah, so that versus was crazy, and that was the reason why I need to do that, man.
How did you feel about Scarface? Side subject.
All right, so
I guess you got
here
something.
We go. Yeah, we okay. Go. Right, here we go. Like, I'm trying to think when I really came into, like, hip hop. Because growing up, like, I was atypical. Like, I remember my godparents, who were living in New York at the time, were trying to get me to listen to MC Hammer. Well, like, when MC Hammer first, like, broke big. This is how old I am.
Don't hurt him, Hammer.
This is how old I am. When MC Hammer, like, first broke big, like, I was probably in elementary school, but my godparents were trying to, like, they thought they would look hip around me playing MC Hammer, and they was trying to get me, like, into the MC Hammer thing. I had a James Brown cassette. I had a single. I had Living in America.
Nice.
A single on cassette.
That was a jam.
And I played that religiously. And it was like, turn this noise off. I'm trying to get back to, you know, James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. But what the fuck is you doing? Like,
yeah.
get this balloon. What is it?
Parachute pant wearing motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't want to. Like, I'm doing the classics right now. I listen to a lot of Jackie Wilson and stuff like that. So I ain't really getting into hip hop until, I tell you, like, the album that did it for me was Reasonable Doubt.
Okay.
You know, prior to that, like, I tell people, embarrassing. You know, fun fact about Flan, first CD I ever purchased was Tevin Campbell.
Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, I was a Tevin Campbell dude.
Wow.
Yeah. But
on that note, I was walking around jamming the MC Hammer album. Which one was it?
I wouldn't know.
It was probably a greatest hits deal, but it was in my cassette player, man.
He got hits? Nah, I'm just
playing. Yeah, hell yeah. He got Hammer hits, bro. But he said he had that track on there, Have You Seen Her? Tell me, have you seen her? I was walking around as a fourth grader wearing my boxers and a t-shirt thinking I was wearing regular shorts in public. I had to learn.
But to bring it back to the
singing that.
Bring it back to the question you asked. Yeah. So when I did get into hip hop, it was like 90s New York hip hop. It was Biggie, it was Jay-Z, Mobb Deep, you know, stuff like that. So I really didn't embrace, like, the South, you know. And, I mean, everybody knew the Ghetto Boys, and everybody knew, like, my mom's playing tricks on me and stuff like that. But I don't know Scarface's discography like that. And this is, like, blasphemy to be saying this as a quote-unquote hip-hop head. I've been given a lot of compliments lately about, like, my hip-hop knowledge or my or the way I consume music, you know, and the depth with which I consume music. But I don't have a Scarface. I do put him on, like, the Mount Rushmore of lyricists. Like I believe that there's a generation or several of the people I look at as the greatest lyricists of all time were inspired by or copied, took things from Scarface.
Sure.
You know? So he's definitely one of the dopest. I can't sit here and, like, other than my mind is playing tricks on me, I probably couldn't recite any Scarface lyrics.
So for me, I caught Scarface on this track right here.
You from Texas, though.
It was Rough Riders featuring Snoop Dogg.
That's late in the game as a motherfucker. God damn.
And I was like, I don't what?
Feel, well, I should feel. I still feel bad because I.
Why?
You don't have the expectation. Visually looking at you, I don't have the expectation that you should know who the fuck Scarface is. The fact that you know who he is, bravo to you. Obviously, you came in way late in the game if the first song you heard him on was a Rough Riders
track. It's not the first track that I heard him on, but that's the one where I was like, Scarface, I get him. Okay. You know what I mean? Because before that, it was a slam between Wu-Tang Clan and Green Day. Like, I was going back and forth, right? Fun fact, Scarface now owns all the musical rights to the band that I was previously a part of for a good amount of my life, named Downside. Look it up. Downside. Scarface. Anytime our songs are played, he's collecting them royalties nowadays.
That's pretty dope.
That wasn't even the reason why I brought it up, but it just that came to my mind as we were talking about it.
Do you...
Kudos to you, Scarface. Look me up. Alexander MF. Let's talk. Because I got inspired by you long after that World War III song. And I got inspired by you because I saw an interview you did with DJ Vlad. And with DJ Vlad, you went on to tell him how we are artists creating an image. And that a lot of the stuff that we talk about is part of the image, not so much a part of the life.
Are you aware that the culture don't fuck with Vlad no more?
Yeah. Okay. I do know that too. But Vlad don't give a fuck. He keeps running, bro. Vlad's been around for a long time. He was DJing before he was interviewing.
Yeah. I found myself like on YouTube. Like seeing,
has he got any new ones out?
I don't know. I'm trying not to check for him. You know,
you don't.
But like occasionally, I'll be scrolling through and I see a headline like so and so telling whatever story, and I'm like, oh, I want to listen to that. And then as soon as I look at it, I see it's a Vlad clip.
Side subject just came to my mind. I read this headline.
ADHD.
Why is it that the gay culture can't cancel DaBaby, right? But the straight culture, no. How come it is that the straight culture can't cancel Lil Nas X, but the gay culture can't cancel DaBaby? Why is that? What happened?
I don't feel like Lil Nas X has slandered straightness.
Either
sides? And then, all right. So, and I wanted to do this. This was one of the things back when it was me and Rich that we wanted, one of the ideas we had for like a podcast episode. Like, you remember the Chappelle Show, they did the racial draft, right?
Yes.
But we wanted to do the, like, offense matrix. Like, we wanted
at what level is does the offense happen?
Or who can be offended by who? You know what I'm saying?
Like meaning, do you have appropriate credentials to take offense at said subject?
Right. Like, so, like, with the understanding.
This is interesting.
Like, with the understanding of, like, white privilege, it's like, white men almost don't get the right to be offended by shit. Like, you can say whatever the fuck you want to a white man, and he really can't say shit about it. Like, I'm saying, like, you know, it's okay to, I was just at a Joe Rogan show, you know, and it's okay to say cracker and all that other shit, but, like, everybody was on pins and needles about the N-word. And I agree, I'm not saying they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, for purposes of explaining the offense matrix.
Right.
That we were talking about, like white men don't have a spot in there. And so it's like, and so I say that to say, like, I think straight people would probably be considered in that same vein if we're talking about from a gender perspective, mm-hmm. in the offense matrix. If you're a straight person, how can somebody offend you? I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying this is what I think.
If you're a straight person, how can you be offended by a gay person?
Right. Like, a gay person can't
offend their existence.
Right. Right. And so and I don't think that Lil Nas X, I don't know enough about him because I don't pay attention to it.
Neither do I.
It's not my thing.
Right.
I don't believe he's ever like been like, fuck straight people, or straight people shouldn't exist, or there's something wrong with straight people. He's just like super gay.
Now the flip side of that coin, have you heard of anything about DaBaby doing that? Because I've not heard about that. But I don't follow headlines. I don't read the news.
He apparently made some comments at Lollapalooza or whatever.
On stage?
On stage.
Oh.
That didn't go over well. And again, like, I'm not a pop culture person, like, and especially if you tell me somebody said something fucked up. Like, if somebody said something crazy, I'm not going to go listen to the crazy thing they said. I'm like, I obviously they said something crazy. And I'm lewd. This is why I'm the whitest black man most people know, because I don't really give a fuck about the baby. Like, I'm not dissing him. I've heard him on some tracks. I think I've heard him rap with J. Cole. He obviously has talent. It's just not my thing. It's not. You know what I'm saying? I had a great time watching that Versus, because the lot, and Dipset, not my thing.
Right.
Not my thing. That was a crazy Versus, because I think most people came in on a side or the other. And there are a lot of Dipset fans who you cannot convince that Dipset got washed, even though that seems to be, you know, the mainstream right. understanding right. is that. And that's what happened.
They got done dirty.
They got washed. I haven't had a chance to use the word mollywopped in a while.
They got mollywopped. That's
exactly what the fuck they got mollywopped. It was a fun thing to see. But Dipset wasn't my thing. The Baby isn't my thing. Lil Nas X isn't my thing.
Have you ever listened to any of the Baby's music though?
I've heard a verse. Like, he's one of those artists where it's gonna have to catch me. Like, I know when certain songs come out that even if I avoid them, they're going to be forced upon me at some point. Yeah. Like, I never wanted to hear WAP or WAP, whatever. I don't know WAP, how you pronounce it. Yep. But I knew it was going to be a moment where I was going to be cornered and somehow.
I just got it in my bad.
You're not giving them no shine tonight. See, since you brought it up.
Since you took it there.
Cardi B.
What you got?
Makes music for women that wash paper plates.
What?
Yeah.
Come at me, bro. What you mean?
It's, I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand what it feels like to me. And I'm trying to walk this fine line. I shouldn't, because we said last episode that your feelings are not our responsibility. But I don't understand this thing where, like, you don't like a thing. Like, you know, so, you know, the whole misogynistic and objectifying of women has been a problem for a long time coming from men. And the way right. we, you know, the way it's portrayed that we treat women and all that has been a problem. And mm-hmm. it feels like the response to that, the way to feel empowered is to
do some embody of the exact same things it, embody that are the
very things that you thought were toxic to from the other side.
Right.
In your, and I just don't understand, like, how every, not every, but quite a few, of the, like, the way to show empowerment is to over-sexualize yourself, is to like indulge I'm and glad, go to the extremes.
I'm glad you're becoming a little bit more clear areas. As towards what you mean, right? So the case here is that the argument here is that an individual has decided to take their power back, and in so doing, right, they are sexualizing themselves even more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you think of that happening in any other situation, in any other case?
Absolutely.
Not sexual related.
Not sexual, like, absolutely.
Not male, female, but...
As I was saying it reminds me a whole hell of a lot of the argument around the word...
Nigga! That's what I was just about to ask you. I'm glad you brought it up. You was feeling it. You know,
it was a thing that was used as a weapon. It was a weaponized word. And then we as a culture took it, flipped it, made it our own. And now we feel as if, like, it is an empowering. It's not even empowerment anymore. Like, this is a part of my vernacular, right? That's how I talk. I don't view the word from certain people. It is a very specific thing, though.
So then my question to you is this, right? Yeah. What is your position on those women in those positions taking their dominance back by over-sexualizing themselves even more, right? And participating in the same things, expressing the same things that have been poked as their argument against us men and how we are, you know.
My position on it is I don't like the fact that it does not feel like a balance. You know, I probably would be far more open to it if it didn't seem so overwhelming, if it wasn't that, like, that seems to be the only way to become popular or something like, or that's the only way to be empowerment. Like I want more mainstream band. And I know it exists. I mean, you know, Rhapsody is my celebrity crush, and I'm still trying to get her over here to enjoy this Mongolian beef with me.
No, that's real dinner. He ain't talking about
that was not a euphemism for anything. I don't call my junk Mongolian beef.
From this day forward, J. Flan is Mongolian beef, everybody.
But so I know that they exist. You know, I'm a huge fan of a lot of, you know, those. I don't want to just run down the list of names because I feel like it's cliche. But I just wish there was more like mainstream balance. It just seems like it's so much of just, you know, look at my ass, look at my, you know, look at this. I'm fucking these niggas. Get a Benz while you fucking them or something. All this kind of other, like, you know.
And then I'll take his chick too, type shit.
Yeah, I'll take his chick too. Like, it's, you know, it'd be cool. Like, I'm a huge fan of, like, gangster rap. And, like, you know, the artists I was listening to growing up was crack rappers. And I was nerding out to that versus listening to Jadakiss talking about Gram.
Right.
I think one of his jokes was like, we got Grammys. They don't know nothing about Grammys. They know about Grams.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, and I'm not, and I don't want that as the popularized view of Black America, or do I want, like, children to believe that that's, you know, the cool thing to do. But I enjoy the music. But I enjoy the music because I can go put on, just today I can play some Jadakiss, and then I can play some Mos, and I can play some Talib, and I can play, and I can see Jadakiss and Talib on his podcast talk to each other about how they're fans of each other. Like, there is more of a balance. Not very much more. But there is more of a balance on that side. We need to get back to that. Because it used to be that way. Like, it MC Light, Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah, MC Light, Roxanne Shanté.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Lauryn Hill.
Talking about empowered women.
Empowered women. Right, extremely right. Empowered women.
Very much so.
And that's not the way we had to express it.
I couldn't see a person any stronger than Lauryn Hill, bro, at that time. And even now, I still look at her as like a grandmama of that stuff, bro.
She was
a queen, dude.
She just dropped a verse on Nas' album. It was kind of crazy. She letting the people know they need to give her a pass for being late. She's trying to change lives. Y'all concentrating on my lateness.
Shit, man, she ain't got to worry about nothing. She's Lauren, bro.
She got to worry about me buying a ticket. I'm sure she's not.
Weren't you the one that was telling me about, you know, like, yeah, y'all don't got to worry about my, oh no, we were talking about Styles, right? And progressively, like, the hip hop artists that we were referring to at the time, I can't recall who they were. 1990 rappers or 2000 rappers, and now we're in 2021 and they're, you know, trying to come up with some stuff and sound contemporary and or not. And the fans are being like, you don't sound new, right? No, but I'm just doing me. Remember that conversation?
Yeah, we had a conversation about, like, yeah, the artist evolving and, you know, and how as a fan, if you became a fan of somebody because of a certain thing about them, and then that's the part of them that evolves and changes. It's like, I get laughed at for this all the time, because if you ask me about damn near any artist, there's not many artists that I wouldn't respond with this blanketed statement. But damn near any artist, I'd be like, I like the old. Like, if you ask me about Kanye West, I like old Kanye West. You ask me about Eminem, I like old Eminem.
But you know what, though? I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, man. I don't think it's that it's got anything to do with the artist as much as it has to do with the listener's ear and their filters having evolved and graduated. Because there are artists on a different genre of music that I've followed hardcore to the death, right? Yeah. All about some Deftones. All about some, you know, Lamb of God. Like, every album, I'm on it. Every song, I know the lyrics. Every song, I can play the drums to, you know, and jam the guitar with. I wish I could get a chance to get to their show live. I'd try to get on that drum set, man. I'd do it. You know what I mean? But, bro, after following Deftones for I don't know how many years, and I was late on the bandwagon. There were a whole lot of people sucking on that Deftone thing for a long time. Finally, I got it, and I was like, Deftones is that. They are amazing. It's an orgasm for the ear and the senses, right? But I'm not knocking them, and I'm not saying I like old Deftones, but what I'm saying is that I just don't like Deftones like I used to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Ears are graduated, bro.
Nah, I mean, I feel like my ears are, I don't know if they've graduated, but like, I appreciate that music from that era, from that time. And it, and a lot of it can be because, you know, I have memories and I have life experiences attached to certain sounds, certain words, certain verses and things right. like that. I played a verse for you the other night, J Electronica. Right, right, I told right. you, like, the one of the few rap verses that can make me cry, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah, and so that will, so J Electronica in that space, that version of J Electronica is always going to hold a special place for me. And if he were to change, if he were to evolve and his sound changed and he'd be a different artist, I would feel like I miss that moment because I want that moment back. Here's an interesting one for you.
Let's go.
There's been a conversation recently about whether or not with the amount of artists and the amount of evolution that has taken place in hip hop, how like Tupac and Biggie could still be in anybody's top five.
Yeah, that's a really good point because so far as anybody will say, it's not just Tupac or Biggie, but Big Pun, you know, I can see that too. But I don't know. Do you think it was because they had left a taste in the mouth of the listeners and the public, not just the listeners that were fans, but the public of like a movement of some sort?
I have my feelings in that regard with Tupac. Like, I feel like we love Tupac for who he was, not necessarily
for what he did.
The music that he made. He made some great music. There are some Tupac songs that are like, you know.
So you mean like
important to me?
People were in love with the person.
People were in love with the image of Tupac. Like there's almost been this, like, I don't know.
I just got done posting a picture of him today.
I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like he's almost like a hip hop deity at this point. Like
we've
created this image of him as like the god MC almost. And
what do we do with the basketball players when we retire their jerseys up top?
There's the conversation about, you know, MJ and LeBron, you know, who's the true GOAT? Does the game evolve and are the newer players newer players ever get a shot at being looked at in the same regard as historical players?
With the Biggie debate,
what I'll say for Biggie is I have not yet encountered another artist that, and this is Royce da 5'9"'s words, that checks all the boxes the way Biggie checked the boxes. Like, Biggie is one of the greatest storytellers in hip-hop. He's right up there with, like, a Slick Rick
okay.
in that regard. I don't know. I have not experienced an artist that can do it as well as he did it. His wordplay, you know, his voice, his presence.
It was all a dream.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know.
Word up magazine.
I just have not, even as hip hop has evolved, you know, I think maybe J. Cole and Kendrick do more with words than Biggie could do, but I don't know that they check all the other boxes that Biggie
Let's checked. Say 20 years from now, those that are listening to those guys now that are 20, right?
Yeah.
20 years from now, they'll probably have the same conversation about those two cats.
Exactly.
As we're having now about.
But I honestly don't feel like, I feel like hip hop has regressed. If you want
to. I don't disagree with that, but I think that's got a lot to do with the people that are listening to it though.
And that, again, to take it back to the verses, You know what? The thing I loved the most about that verses is, to me, that verses was a physical embodiment of style versus substance. And it was, a group came out and tried to be drippy and they tried to be style and they tried to be, we so cool and we so this, and they wore Fendi everything and everybody had on trendy shit and 7 bandanas and all that other stuff. And they couldn't beat some dudes in Tim's and camo shorts that was
with
rapping.
Some jean shorts actually and some t-shirts on.
Rapping that came there to show people that they could rap. Like, you couldn't beat them with style. You couldn't just outdress them and think that was going to win the battle.
Okay, so my brain just took myself to a futuristic moment in time where you and I are rapping somewhere here in Austin. What's up? Was it going down? Are we doing that? Are we getting on stage?
I hate being on stage.
I don't care. That does not fulfill my request, sir. Shall we be there? Okay, all right. I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to need you to back me.
I'm saying, man, I'm sober now.
I done growed up a bit.
There ain't enough liquor to get me on stage and get me feeling, you know, get my inhibitions down to the point where I could get on stage. I'm definitely probably more comfortable in my own skin than I was back then. So maybe it wouldn't bother me so much to be. And I don't feel like I'm a persona anymore. I feel like I'm me all the time. I'm not like J.D. Flan is not this alternative version of me. It's not, you know, I'm not Clark Kent and I put on the and I rip off the tile or whatever, and all of a sudden I'm Superman. Like, it's just one dude.
And I wholeheartedly agree with you on that, which is why I adopted the name Alexander MF versus the boy, or because that's what they used to call me, because I was the young. Yeah, that was my name. I was the boy, bro. I'm cool. When I joined this band, I was 14. The next man next to me was 24. Man, they were men, and I was a kid.
If I call you Alexander the boy from now on.
That's what they call me, Alex the Boy Fuentes, yeah. But I've grown up from the boy. Now I'm the man. I'm the man. The Killers, everybody. Check out the song. I'm the man. Anyhow, so I understand that, right? So for me to get on stage, I'm not the boy no more, right? And I'm not trying to represent an image that we were pursuing at the time, right? Like, this was, we were brand marketing before people were talking about brand marketing. It wasn't a thing sold in books with guerrilla marketing skills and shit, right? So I feel that, right? I can't be anybody other than Alexander. That's my name and that's who I is.
But when I talk to people about like why I never, like why my rap career didn't take off. Like, even now, like Jadakiss definitely put the battery in my back. Like, man, like I just.
He fueled that just now?
Man, I was watching that thing and I was just like, man, like I just want to have fun again. I want to do something creative again. I want to create. But I'm not a studio rat. I don't like being,
you know. Wait, tell me that. Explain that. Finish that statement. I'm not a studio what?
Like, all right, so this is why I quit. This is why I gave it up. Because, you know, I had people in my corner that was like,
backing and pushing support.
You're the one. You're going to be the next one. Like, you know, I was going to be shopped as like a Kanye West backpacker, everyman kind of rapper. I wasn't gangster. I wasn't, you know, any of that. But I had a way with words. I was a For the Ladies rapper, actually. I did a lot of songs.
I want to hear still of studio. What don't you like?
But yeah, so I had a moment with you last night, I think it was, where like you were playing music downstairs, playing beats, and like,
oh yeah, trying to get me running,
like, you know, rap on demand and put verses and stuff like that. And it's like, I used to hate that about the studio. I felt like the studio for me was a competition. I go in there and it was a bunch of us, and everybody held me in high regard, but it was like when a beat was presented, it almost felt like it was, who's the first person that's going to be able to put some quality work on this? Mm. And for me, like, you got to give me some beats. And you may see me 6 months later.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, I'm like, I'm ready to record one song.
Yeah.
You know? But that's how I work. I'm not an on-the-spot dude. I'm not a, I don't like the pressure of being on the spot. I don't like the pressure of having to think of stuff. I don't freestyle, none of that stuff. So, like, I felt like I didn't have, like, either I didn't love it the same way other people love it. And I do love making music. I just don't love it to the point where I just want to be in it all the time. Like, I told Jay on the last episode, and you've been working on the track for me.
Oh, like, yeah, for the opening?
You know, a friend of mine hit me up, said he was starting his own podcast and, you know, and wanted to pay me to make the intro music for it. And my immediate response to him was, let me do it for free so it don't feel like work.
Because the moment
it became like an obligation or something I was being paid for or something like that, then it changed the whole vibe for me.
You know, that's funny because that could also be seen as a way to keep it as not so much of a necessary thing to have happen to someone else's approval, right? Like, let me do this for free. What you get is what you get, versus like feeling the burn that someone's paid me and I have to provide them with a specific amount or specific type of sound to, you know what I mean? Like I'm getting paid for this. I don't know that I could do that. Let me just do something for free and give it to you.
I definitely wanted to give them quality work. I definitely wanted to do it for them. I had it. Like, for me, the moment I said I'm going to do it,
sure,
it's like, I got to do it now. Like, I told them I'm going to do it. I want to be a man of my word. But it wasn't so much, I don't know, I didn't want it to be a job. I didn't want it to be. And once music became a job or started to feel like it was heading in that direction where, you know, like it's an obligation. Like, you got to be here and you got to be there and you got to perform at this time. And we need to get these songs done by this date. It was like, man, and I could see people around me that had that kind of drive. That was just like, man, we're going to grind it out. We're going to be in a studio all weekend if we got to. And it was like, I could be in the studio with you all weekend and I ain't no guarantee we're going to get anything. And I don't want to feel the pressure of feeling like we got to get something.
I feel that. So with Alexander MF as an artist, like doing what I do, what I started to do and what I feel like I'm still trying to get back running up. It's all been me, though. You know what I mean? I haven't had a team of folks. I haven't had other rappers or other musicians or other artists to be a part of it with me, man. And I feel that for me, contrary to your situation, that kind of made me feel like lagged back a bit. Although while going through these motions and making these moves, decisions, and actions, I had also said to myself at the same time, the more that I continue to do this, the more people will come. Right. The more that I do this, the more there will be supporters that want to be a part of this with me, that will want to videotape music videos, that will want to help me track in the studio, that will hear my music and say, yo, I make instrumentals. I want to talk with you about that. You know what I mean? Yo, I think you're a hot MC, right? Like, I think you got some lyrics or some vocal ability. I enjoyed what I heard. I want to work with you also, another, you know, lyricist or singer or band, whatever the case may be. But so for myself tonight, right, there's an artist that I've been talking about with you by the name of Prof from Minnesota. And he's been around for a while. He's just getting noticed though, right? And I really feel like he's killing YouTube. Like, I feel like he had this thing going that he was just like making happen. Music was dropping, but he really pushed big into YouTube within the past year and has made that kind of like his platform now. Like, all his new music he's doing, he's putting out on. I'm pushing a little bit more on like promoting that, but that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that tonight I saw some sides of him and some instrumentals. And man, I just know that if I sit around waiting for somebody to show up to help me, to make the music the way I want it to sound, it's not going to work. I have to do this, which is why I was asking you about, you know, setting up these speakers tomorrow, you know, so I can get in there and start pounding out some sounds, man. I want to make some music. I know I got a guitar, but I can't play the guitar for a band because I don't have a band. If I had a drum set, I know I could play the drums, but I can't play the drums for a band because I don't have a band. The only way that I can get to the goal that I'm thinking about is having to create the sounds myself that way, because I don't have all of the instruments to do it the other way. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm going to have to make you be like, you got this. Do it, bro.
Yeah, because to that point, and this is the conversation I have with people about like podcasting and a friend of mine who have wanted to start a podcast.
Right, right.
And getting over that hump is like, of course, there's the grand end vision of what it's going to look like at the end. And this podcast is not there in terms of my grand vision. For what I, when I sat down and said, I want to make a podcast, what I want my podcast to sound like I got a chance to listen to that Midnight Miracle.
Sure.
Like, damn, like that is a whole nother level of like artistry in terms of, you know, the podcast genre.
Right.
I want to aspire to. But that doesn't mean you don't do the version of it that you can and have the ability to do right now.
And that's why, like, you were the one that told me that. You just got done having this conversation with me and dropping that gem.
Like,
right?
You don't have a band, but you got a guitar.
Right.
And you got you.
Right.
So you start there.
Yep.
And at some point, you know, maybe that happens, but you don't delay the start until because you have everything that you
because
want.
Because of lacking something.
Because of lacking something.
You know, and because just you said go. That, man, I've thought to myself, I have so many things written and I'm not putting anything out. I got so much material written that I can turn into music, but you know why? It's like, man, it might not sound good. Dog, I'm 36 years old. Who the fuck am I trying to sound good for? I'm going to die at some point, and I'm closer to death than I am to my teens.
God damn, bro.
Hear me out. I'm closer to death now than I am back when I was 18 traveling the States, right? And I don't have time. I got me, and I got the opportunity. The only thing stopping me is myself. I've decided to myself that what I'm going to do is I'm going to make some shit happen. I got enough material written to compose at least 2 albums of music. I just haven't done it.
Yeah, again, you know, we had the conversation. I said the only difference between you and the people doing what you want to do
is the doers.
Is they doing it. So they just do it. Right? At whatever level you can start. Like, wherever I'm at now was not where we were when we sat down and tried to record this the first time.
That's a perfect spot to transition.
All right.
I got you, because this is going right into it. Come on. However we got to do it, let's run it.
We doing that right
now? We doing it right now.
All
right,
here we go.
Hit it. Hey, hey, hey.
I'm letting you, just you.
Guess the initiative. Guess the initiative. Guess the ethnicity. Is he white or is he? Guess the ethnicity.
All right, so we're doing it. We flipping it this time. This is your show. I'm the contestant. Do it however you want
to
do it.
J.Dot Flan, welcome to the show this evening. My name is Alexander MF, and I am the host of this show. Guess the ethnicity. Let's see what we got here.
Yay.
I got a few. Yeah. All right, so we're going to read the headline, right?
All right.
All right. I have to say the city, don't I?
You don't. It's just your rules, man. Do whatever you
okay.
want.
Okay. Man admits to attempting to purchase crack cocaine.
Jesus Christ.
Guess the ethnicity.
All right. You know, like I said, we're going to be offensive.
I want you to keep it real. Hey, if you're going to keep it offensive, don't be shy. Yeah,
we might as well be all the way offensive. I got to switch back and forth between sound banks and stuff. But all right, man, whatever. You know how I feel.
Nigga! All right. Police said man was trying to buy crack cocaine, was arraigned on a drug possession, and charged by the Justice of the Peace. This arrest is a state jail felony punishable up to 2 years, by up to 2 years of jail time. All right. So the gentleman was driving a 2009 Ford Focus.
2009 Ford Focus. That sounds very white. But I get the feeling like if you're going to buy crack, you're not really thinking about the car that you're driving in. That's the next hint right now is the vehicle.
Let's do it like this. A 2009 Ford Focus with a faulty headlight, according to the arrest affidavit, which was the reason for the stop.
The fact that he was driving to get the crack cocaine, I'm going to switch. I'm going to say white.
With a faulty headlight.
With a faulty, but he was driving.
All right.
I feel like if you a crack, if you the crackhead that I envision when I think of crackheads, you can either you will walk several miles, run if you have to,
sure,
to get to where you got to go, or you in the
mind
midst, you in the midst of the shit.
Mind you. Let me hold tight. Hold tight. All right.
So I'm changing my answer. White.
Individual pulled in and out of the Deluxe Inn, then the Liberty Six, and finally the Welcome Inn before police pulled him over. Police asked the gentleman to step out of the car, and when he did, he pulled a glass smoking pipe, according to the police.
Oh, 100% white. 100% white. This dude was bold. You step out the car with the pipe. Like that to me is the confidence you only have when you either don't feel like you're doing something wrong or you feel like it's not that big of a deal and you know, you should get a pass. Like you don't have the crack yet. I just got paraphernalia. I feel like in our community we understand the stakes of things and we don't fuck around with police. We're not gonna step out of a car with a police officer with the pipe in your hand. Like
okay.
That.
All right.
Or you were super high already, but I'm going white.
Okay. When officers read the Miranda rights, the individual said he was out looking for cocaine.
They read the Miranda.
Miranda rights. Yeah.
Miranda rights. White.
When they read the Miranda rights, he stated he was looking for crack cocaine and told the officers that he had a crack pipe on the floor of his car, police said. Police tested the substance, which later tested positive for less than a gram of cocaine, according to police.
All right. So he's bold enough to give the police all this information. He's not trying to get out of this situation at all because he doesn't fear the penalty, obviously. And he bought bullshit crack.
Oh yeah, white. Bought bullshit crack?
I don't understand. Well, I don't know enough about crack. It sounds like if they tested the substance and it was less than a gram or something like that. Then
so the test was a field test to determine whether or not it was positive for cocaine, which it was.
Right.
The individual was held in the county jail on a $100,000 bond for less than 1 gram of cocaine. Crack cocaine.
So now we
get, that's a lot of money,
that's
bro.
That's a lot of money. So now we're getting into penalties. Held in the county jail, $100,000. The police reaction, I'm torn because they read him his rights. Nothing sounds like bad happened to this individual yet. An individual that stepped out of a car with a crack pipe in his hand and, you know, and confessed to unnecessary shit for no reason. So that all sounds white. But then I'm like, you know, and they read him his Miranda rights, you know, with all of this. and that's a part of the story.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with white. Can you give me where did this take place?
Killeen, Texas.
Killeen, Texas. Oh, man. That makes me want to say not white. I don't want to say black anymore. I don't want to go back.
Nigga!
That makes me think not white. That makes me think not white, but fair enough to pass. And so maybe has had experiences in life where
as a white person.
Where he received that level of privilege.
It's funny how the news puts stories out, right? Because I can tell you for a fact that this individual never pulled out any glass pipe. This individual didn't have a conversation about trying to buy crack cocaine. And this individual was detained on a faulty charge where probable cause was stating that the headlight was out. This was my arrest record from 2017. I never once had a glass pipe when I got out the car. I never once had a headlight that was out on that car. It was a setup sting situation. First one on Guess the Ethnicity. I think you got it right, right? Because you said not white.
I said not white, but I also said...
I'm a Dominican Rican.
If that's the thing. Okay.
Look at this picture, though, bro. Look at this picture.
I can see you having experiences where... So, all right. So here's my question for you, since it is you, and I can ask these questions.
What the fuck?
So you're saying you never gave any of that information. So how did the stop actually go?
You want to know like details on this? I might not want to. There was an ex individual that was a CI working for the department who I'd had in the vehicle with me, who they had noted the police. Yeah, I'm with individual XYZ, yada yada's happening. I was followed for more than 7 miles. When they said that they saw me pull into this hotel and pull into this, the officer was stopped, like watching me over here. Yeah. I dropped X individual off at this hotel, went to rip. And by the way, recovery is a great thing. Thank God that I'm not smoking crack today. Let's start there. And cocaine is a hell of a drug. Fuck your couch. Yeah, all that stuff.
Fuck.
That's right. And when they let me go, when I left that spot and I pulled into the next spot, I went and made a run, dropped something off, got something out the way, pulled into the next spot because I was going to go and sit down. And when I was turning into the facility, the cop coming in the opposite direction lit me up. And when he pulled me over and asked me about myself, I gave him my insurance. I gave him my driver's license. I had nothing wrong, man. Car was legal. Everything was good. But then he started asking me questions about things in the vehicle that he had no way to know about. Like real specific granular statements, right?
Like, I love the impact that I'm having on
people. Like that plastic container in your car with a green bottom and a blue top, where's that at? Why don't you tell me about that? What about that black Adidas bag that you got? I don't see it. Where's it at? Asking me questions about something that only somebody could have been in my vehicle and in my presence knew about. I didn't have a way out of that. That was a setup. They'd been watching me for a minute already.
100,000 though.
Yeah,
100,000. Crazy. You know, to stay down on this racial rabbit hole that we're going down. I've told you this, so, and you can stop me at any point if I'm telling too much of your business. But when I spoke to you for the first time, over the phone,
right? Can I say my first? Go ahead.
So what was your impression of me when you talked to me on the phone?
I was like,
you knew my first name.
Yeah, I knew you were black. Weird. I knew it, but I was like, this guy's white. What's going on?
How did you knew you? You said you knew I was black.
Yeah,
like you knew, like had the information, or you had
nope. I picked it up off our conversation. It's just you said just enough to be able to make me understand. How did you do that? I don't know, because you were using your work voice.
Yeah, you would catch me out of work.
But what was your thoughts?
It's crazy because it was. I was talking to the two of you around the same time. So we had another individual that we both, lived with. I was talking to him on the phone, and I just knew he was white. I just knew he was white. And I think the kicker, which is really going to, show how racist I am.
Let's hear it.
Is when he told me his dad was going to help him move. I was like, oh, you got a dad? Oh, that's white for sure. Like, you got a dad that's involved in your life.
This kind of evidence don't happen where I come from.
Hey, like you've made these mistakes, and your father's still fucking with like you, and he's gonna help you out. He got the means to help you out. Oh, wife for sure.
Okay.
But then yeah, talking to you, you know, once I knew what the substance was, and then the speed at which you talk fast.
Yeah,
and you talk and you say a lot.
Uh huh.
I felt like you was like trying to run game on me. You had a almost pimpish cadence at time, and some of the word choice. It felt like, you know, like this dude is trying to, you know, he's trying to throw a wall of words at me so that I don't hear what it is that he's saying, or I don't think enough about it to ask questions. So you came across to me. I thought for sure you was black. And so when I met the two of you and I was wrong on both, I was like, damn, my whole worldview is fucked. I need to adjust the way I think about things, because I'm racist for real.
Man, I'm so proud of you for saying what you said. Nah, play it real, bro. Play it real. It's all good. I wholeheartedly believe that all of us in some form or another have some sort of racial bone within us.
So just to clarify why I'm making the distinction between racism and
versus prejudice
is that I was prejudging the two of you based on mannerisms and
tonal,
you know, voice and tone and stuff like that without ever seeing either one of you. But in neither case was I trying to deny somebody an opportunity or believe I was better than or take something away from you. And so that's where I feel like to be racist is not only that I think, you know, not only that I judge you on what race you might be because of certain things, or I believe certain characteristics may be unique to a certain ethnic group or not, but because of those characteristics, I think I'm better than you, and I would use that advantage to deny you something.
Sure. I whistled.
So that's why I would say, that's why I'm going prejudice, not race.
Okay, so follow-up question. Yeah. After our first conversation on the phone, when you met me in person up until this point, how do you feel now about listening to me speak? Is it the same as it was on the phone that day? Is that me?
I have told you, and I have, I mean, we've had these real conversations. I told you in other situations, to stop trying to be so worried, like just, you know, to like,
right.
Simplify, like, you know,
cause sure, yeah, I got it.
You know, where I come from, if you're saying that much, I don't trust people who volunteer information.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust people who give me too much. So it's like, you know, say what it is. If I ask you a question, that's the only answer I'm expecting to get back. You give me more than that, now I think you're trying to control the narrative, and that puts me on the defensive immediately.
Sure.
Like, you know, what you trying to get me to see, you know, or what you trying to get me to believe I see?
Sure.
Versus, you know, the reality.
I'll tell you something. That is a good skill that you have. To be aware of such things, because many people take advantage of other people by directing the narrative and their view on what's being said, right?
That's
it happens, like, even with the government and the presidents and, you know, shit.
It comes from being hurt, bro. Somebody got to lie to you. And you'd be like, that's what a liar sounds like. All right, so I know now that I know.
But I wasn't lying.
I know, but you say a lot sometimes. Sometimes you don't need to. And you don't need to use them big words with me either.
I don't use big words.
You do use big words.
That, bro, granular? You taught me that shit.
That's it. I use big words.
See, yeah, big words.
I use specific words.
I want anybody that knows what granular means right off the rip right now to message into whatistws at fucking gmail.com and tell us if you know what that is.
Flan at whatistws.com.
Or Alexander M. Fuentes at gmail.com. If you know what granular is, email us and let us know. Don't look it up. Just
specific. I believe in communicating effectively.
Am I doing, so when I speak, I use big words?
You have, I think, I don't know if you stopped when we had that conversation, but I think what one day, because we were having a conversation about like recovery based stuff. And I was just like, dude, I'm an intelligent dude. Like, you can't defeat me by just throwing words out there that you either believe I don't. And some of them I don't understand. I've stopped you a couple of times. Like, what the fuck does that mean? And it's like, but why are you using that word? Like, you could have just said prison. And I would have, you know, I'd have understood prison. But I think that's the word you were using one time that, you know, had something to do with like going back or something like that, or getting out and going back. Recidivism.
So it was something. Oh yeah, recidivism. The recidivism rate. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, you could have just said go back to jail. Like, I was like, why are you using recidivism? What are you trying to do, bro? You trying to, that feel like game. I feel like,
you know,
game.
What that comes, you know what that comes from? That comes from all the rehabs, that comes from my jobs, and that comes from the education, from the shit that I've had to read about, man. But you ready for another one?
All right, let's go.
Hold okay.
Let's do it. Nah, I mean, ain't gonna do it
again. Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck, I got him.
Is they white? Is they black? We don't know. They might be Panama Jack. Right. Where did they come from? Nobody knows. All right, here we go. Texas mother charged after school stunt video goes viral.
That's the whole headline?
Oh, wait. Texas mother charged after school stunt video goes viral. 30-year-old pretended to be her 13-year-old daughter for a day.
Motherfucker. All right, black, yeah. Black don't crack. That's what I'm going with on that
one. Nigga! All right, all right. It's not unusual for mothers and daughters to look alike and share clothes. It's very unusual for a mom to go to the middle school that her daughter in her daughter's place. However, a mom went to a middle schooler in San Elizario, Texas, did just that, and now faces. Hold on. Oh, it won't give me the rest of it. Oh, come on.
We don't know what she's facing.
Yep, the one, tell us the rest.
All right, so I'll give you my thoughts on it. So, the San, blah, 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 whatever,
San
Texas.
San Elizario?
Yeah, I'll let you say it.
Mm-hmm. San Elizario.
That's throwing me off a little bit. Because Texas, all right, so where I am from, things are very black and white. And I mean right. that, like, racially. You know, I used to make the joke here, like, you know, in Texas, nothing is ever black and white. There's always a Mexican. And that's very... very racist. I apologize. But so yeah, the name of the city is throwing me off. And I do believe that, like, people of the this is horrible. Like, I sound really...
Oh man, just say it. Let's I see sound what really, you got.
I do believe, like, you know, Latinos or Hispanics, what's the appropriate word? You tell me.
Down there they would say Mexican Americans.
Okay. Mexican Americans,
or Chicanos, or Texican, they exhibit
some of the same traits we hold dearly about our blackness, in that you don't necessarily look your age a lot.
Right.
Unfortunately, and this is just based on my experience, white folks, if you're not Tom Cruise, you'd be looking 50 at like 25 for some reason. Like, I don't know why your life is so hard.
It's because, like, they got to deal with all of us, bro.
It don't feel like it's because they got to get offended every day and not show it, or they can't. You know, it's all that offense just coming through the pores or something. I don't know. So I'm going to go not white so far.
Okay. Hold on. Here we go.
I'm going to pull back from the granularity.
Hold on. Yeah. Mother took a video of herself dressed in skinny jeans, high top sneakers, a hoodie, and a mask hanging out at the school taking classes, talking to the principal, and eating chicken nuggets in the cafeteria. Nobody figured out it was the mom until seventh period.
Nobody figured out it was the mom. Now, then I'm wondering.
I'm no spring chicken, she says in a follow-up.
I'm no spring. God, then that's a white thing to say. I'm trying to figure out who got the free time to do this. You got to just not have a job and who would want to do this and who would feel like they could get away with it.
Dang.
Like,
I'm looking at the video.
You're watching the video of this, yep, mother.
The stunt that she had, the video that she pulled in. Oh, man.
Why would you? I'm trying to get into the mindset of why do they even talk about the motive behind this? Like, what?
Let me see.
Why was she impersonating her daughter?
And that, she says, is why she did. Okay, so it says that she's as petite as a kid at just under 5 feet tall and just over 100 pounds, but she doesn't look or talk especially like a kid. And that, she says, is why she did it. She expresses concern that someone with scarier motivations than her could easily find a way into the school and harm kids.
White.
What is her? No, white. Mexican lady, bro. Casey Garcia.
She's been around white people. This is that Karen shit, like, just involving yourself in something that ain't your job, trying to prove something that
Wow, that's crazy. She went all out.
That's retarded. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but it's because it is retarded. Like that. And I don't mean retarded in like a mental.
No, like really stupid.
It's really stupid.
So let me run
this
by you.
And very privileged. Very privileged. Just to think that rules and things don't apply to you if you have good motives or you have what you believe are good motives.
All right. 20 crazy, funny police reports. Yeah.
We doing all 20 of these?
Nah, we stop. Okay. Number one, baby or burrito? Mountain View posted in the newspaper Friday. Walmart police receive a report of a newborn infant found in a trash can. Upon investigation, officers discovered it was only a burrito.
So what am I guessing the ethnicity of the officers?
No, it's just fucking funny ass shit. These cops were called because somebody thought a baby was in the trash can.
It's a white person called
it was on a Mexican baby. It was a burrito.
It's white people called it.
All right, tell me what you think about this. Could you identify the suspicious coin in a lineup? At 5 p.m., police were called to a market square for a report about a suspicious coin. Investigating officers reported it was just a quarter.
Well, can y'all stop acting like calling the police is your right? Like, just let it go. Like, what is it? A fucking quarter, man.
Okay, I haven't read all of these at all. Those were the first two.
A man died over passing a counterfeit $20 bill. Like, let the fucking quarters go.
Number three, missing bacon. Police solve case of the missing bacon.
That'd have been me. I'd have called
it. This is white. A Grand Rapids resident told police last week that someone had entered his home during the night and taken 5 pounds of bacon from the refrigerator.
Yeah, you got to be white to have.
Upon further investigation, police discovered his wife had gotten up for a late night snack, but was afraid to admit it. Well, that sounds like an abusive wife. I mean, abusive husband and 5 pounds. Yeah.
5 pounds, though.
She handled that.
That's the next episode of My 600 Pound Life or whatever that show is.
My 600 Pound Life. Yeah.
All right. So
what you got?
I do want to have this conversation with you because I want to see where this goes. Suicide Squad. You watched it. I watched.
Oh shit!
You feel like I feel like you've decided that you're gonna go out on this. You're gonna die on this hill, and I just want to see how far you're gonna go.
I feel that the Suicide Squad 2 put a more realistic, to change the word, humanistic approach, a more realistic view on being a superhero. Like, these motherfuckers died, bro. Like, superheroes don't die. You can't watch Thor, you can't watch Captain America. You like, they had to disappear in time with the snap of a finger with these Infinity Stones. This dude Polka Dots was like, I'm a superhero, I'm a motherfucking super, and got smashed by a giant fucking, what was it, starfish, a universal starfish, what was it called,
whatever,
a starfish from space.
Stardo the Conqueror.
Not just that, though. Like, none of these people had, like, you know, superhuman powers. They were, like, super marksmen. And Harley Quinn is just crazy and bold as fuck. Polka Dot guy, he had a universal disease, I think. No, galactic disease.
Galactic virus.
Yeah, galactic virus that his mom, who was a lab researcher scientist, had put into all the kids.
You're saying all of these things, and realistic is the word you're sticking with.
Yeah, I feel like it was much more realistic and true to life than what Marvel has done with their movies. And I ain't knocking Marvel, bro. I'm the biggest Tony Stark fan there is. I am the biggest Stark Industries guy there is. I'm all about Iron Man. Like, that's who I am. His story, I felt related to mine. You know, he was a junkie. He was a dope fiend. He was addicted. And then he turned into who he became, Tony
Robert
Stark.
Robert Downey Jr.
Tony Stark. And
they never
Robert,
show. They
and,
never,
and never. No, the story about Tony Stark, bro, in the comics is just that. He was a fucked up drug using junkie, bro. He was a heroin user. Fact of the matter is, part of the reason why they cast Downey Jr. for this was because of the fact that his history was similar to it. So I'm all like, I'm Tony Stark, I'm Iron Man, right? Like, I was down in the doldrums, came from the garbage, and now I'm recovering, right? Now I'm living a different life, and things look so much more beautiful. And, you know, it's much more of like a... My words, I've been tired, man. I'm riding that bike. My brain don't think that well. My thoughts are, is like, it's much more of a fantasy thing in... After watching that tonight, like, I haven't any Marvel movie that came out, I'm like, fuck yeah, I love it. Fuck fuck yeah, I love it. Like, it's cool. You were guaranteed to get the same experience every time and you would never be let down, right? Quality was always pretty much the same. Ragnarok was a little bit different, right?
They tried to get funny with it. They tried to get...
Right. But I feel that that's what they've done very well with this one specifically on Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
You know, like, they took it... I guess what it would be is that it wasn't so rigid and perfect as much as it was more like flawed like a human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's, like, nothing human about that movie. First of all, if you were an actual human being with no superpowers,
you don't survive.
You don't survive any of that shit. And you don't shoot people and flowers pop out and shit like that. Like, it was pretty dope, though. Realism is not the word that would ever come to my mind.
So you're talking about the difference between cinematography and, like, what I mean about the characters. Because the characters was cinematography.
But just the characters. Harley Quinn, I don't give a fuck how crazy. I know some crazy people. You on the spectrum.
I'm one of them. Did you notice, man?
I know some crazy people.
In the chicken coop.
And crazy don't allow you to just run through, presidential palace shooting everybody. And you don't catch...
Not one bullet. Okay, so but what you're saying isn't being true to life of what it is. It's a movie. That's part of the story, right? But these superheroes,
the argument of realism,
were more like humanistic than were the other ones. The other ones were more fine and rigid. They were like perfect. These ones here are like
the whole thing about Spider-Man is that Spider-Man is just some kid who got bit by a radioactive spider. And now he's got superpowers and he does, you know, baller shit, you know, when he's fighting Doc Ock or whatever.
He does some baller shit, for sure.
But he still, like, is awkward around girls and is trying to survive high school.
He's still a part of the Marvel Universe.
He's not perfect at all.
They made those, and neither is Tony Stark.
We got to see Thor is fat and depressed.
Right. You know, they tried to do that. They did try to do that. But this whole movie, man, it was like that whole movie. Like, I feel that DC right now, if they keep on with that, they're going to do something good for themselves that are separate from what Marvel has done. We're not talking apples and oranges, right? Because that's what it is. Like, they're two different things.
But one is not more real than the other.
I just felt like they were more humanistic than what happened in the other movies. Yeah.
They died because they didn't have superpowers.
They died because they decided to make it that way. No, the producers and the directors that put this movie together thought to themselves, we're going to write a movie and we're going to screen this thing just like that.
They died.
They had the option.
Because
they had the option to make it like
Superman. Because Superman, if a boulder falls on Superman, he doesn't die because he's Superman. If you're polka dot man.
Hey, wait. Did Tony Stark die? He died, right?
Tony Stark died.
He got snapped in. He was the one that snapped.
No.
He went away.
He snapped the whole.
The Infinity Stones.
The effect of the Infinity. He couldn't handle the power
so
of
he
the
went.
Infinity Stone. He's up out of there.
You think they're going to bring him back?
I mean, in comic books, I'm pretty sure some of these Suicide Squad people are going to show up.
I'll tell you this much.
Saw the after credit scenes.
I didn't. Damn. They do that too?
Not everybody you think is dead is dead.
I believe that. Was the hyena still alive?
Not everybody you think. I'm not spoiling this.
It was a hyena, bro.
Not everybody you think is dead is dead.
Look at that window.
Not everybody you think is dead is dead.
So I was reading after the Infinity Stone one that they were going to have a black teenage girl play the next Iron Man. And I thought to myself, that would be dope as fuck. I'd like to see how they do this. Let's see what happens. But I will say this, though. Robert Downey Jr. and that whole team did a damn great job over the past, what, like 12 years?
Something like that.
13 years of running this, what's that called? Franchise? Bro, they held that shit together and did some damn good things. But it was a completely different experience today. That was not a Marvel movie. Obviously, it's a DC movie, right? But it's a superhero movie, and those are the two that were contending forever. Marvel and DC.
But that was a movie not about superheroes. Because Marvel has done the same thing. When you look at... Deadpool, the second Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to pull together this ragtag group of whatevers, and they all fucking die. Every last one of them, one after the other, jumping out of a plane, because that could happen to people if you don't have superpowers. And some of them had superpowers, but they were dumbass superpowers. And it's what happened in this one.
Do you remember Trojan films with, like, Kabuki Man?
No. Nah, so you're nerding out on me.
What I'm trying to see is if you've heard about them. I think that they may have been like Marvel characters as well, but they're like so class B or list B-list actors or B-list characters. Kabuki, man.
Similar to the Suicide Squad thing. These were all characters nobody gives a shit about. I watched something earlier today about like the history of Polka Dot Man in the comic books. And he, like, there are no Polka Dot Man storylines. Like, he comes into things as a bit character, dies most of the time. And then, like, because he's not...
Oh, Polka Dot Man?
Yeah, he's not a thing. He's right. Not, you know, I think Peacemaker, maybe a big deal. And he's going
to... Bloodsport
or whatever. Yeah. Like, Harley Quinn...
Wasn't that a fucking Johnny Cage
is movie? The Jimmy? Biggest character... In that movie, you know, and I don't know.
I wonder what they're going to do, man. I wonder if they're going to try to carry this on further. So you said the end credits. I didn't see. Like, but I wonder if they're going to try to do, like, you know, fucking...
Yeah, Peacemaker is getting a series.
How many movies did Marvel make with this whole thing?
They got plenty more coming.
You think so?
Oh, it's not yet. There's another Thor in the works. And then there's something else that's going to happen after that.
Are they doing any more Hulk, do you know?
No idea. No idea.
Oh shit, Black Widow. Have you seen that?
I've seen that one.
Did you like it?
I did.
That was a legit movie. Yeah. That was a legit movie. But she's suing them, though, by the way, because she's actually suing HBO, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because they let the shit out too early or something like that. I'm trying to see how many movies they made.
I just wanted to see if you was really going to stand on this hill.
Bro, I ain't dying. I stand on it, bro. It was a different thing. When you talk about what they did with the Marvel characters and the Marvel superheroes, that universe, the world that they lived in, it wasn't
because superheroes.
No, Tony Stark has a body that is not a superhero body. He's a human.
But he's incredibly smart, and he walks around. He doesn't get into a fight. As Tony Stark. And, you know, like most of the time, if he's in a fight, we've seen him do it.
He's been knocked down and fucked up.
And so Harley Quinn did the same thing.
Yeah.
She survived something that she shouldn't have survived as a civilian.
Who in DC is a real superhero?
Superman.
Next.
The Flash.
They got real bad. They got Cyborg. Real superhero bad guys, though, don't they?
Wonder Woman.
Okay, keep going. Aquaman.
He's an actual superhero, and they don't die.
What is this?
This was a bunch of people nobody gives
this was a great
two
movie.
Fucks about.
I fucking loved it.
Two fucks about. And yes, some of them died because we don't care.
Do you remember the guys that were running around like Oregon wearing superhero outfits, like really doing security around the city? What was his name? Like Golden Fist or some shit. No. Puma.
Where does this come from? Like where does...
How do I
know
that?
No. Just what makes a person...
Think that's a good idea?
Think... One, believe that is their responsibility.
J-Dot.
And that they should
J-Dot.
Fulfill it.
If you can get away with one thing without consequences, what was that?
A shootout.
These people feel that there aren't consequences for what they're going to do. They feel that the benefits outweigh the consequences.
That is a mental illness.
They feel that they're going to help society overall. Just like the person that decided, like, we're going to start a security task, eventually calling them a police force, eventually calling them an army.
You know how the police force started, right?
Tell me about it.
Slave catchers.
See, it all started from somewhere, man. Somebody. So
these
was
were
like,
not these were not people with
the
grand,
benefits outweighed the risks. They might kill us, but we're gonna catch them and bring them back.
No, they weren't even thinking they're gonna kill us. These are unarmed.
How do you know you slaves. Weren't alive back then?
I wasn't alive back then, but I don't think they really felt like they didn't. We were not threats. We were not equals. We were not. We were. Yeah, we were property. We were like a dog catcher. Like you think dog catchers are like the consequences
that's what
outweighed?
The cops are still.
You think dog catchers walk out? The house every day, like the consequences, the benefits outweigh the consequences. No, they're not thinking about the fucking consequences. They chasing down dogs.
I don't know. There's people out there that really love their jobs, from the menial to the most. My brain don't work.
I love this job.
I enjoy this. If I could live a life like sitting in a room like this, right, with some, what are they called? Ballasts, the boxes on the wall. You know, for the studio stuff. And
sound dampening stuff.
Okay. And just make sound and then be able to like get paid for that. And then go and buy groceries with that money and pay for my car and pay my rent. And, you know, make it. That'd be the way to do it. Like sitting in here. doing that kind of shit with like-minded individuals. Yeah. And we were all doing this. I don't know, man. It used to be a dream to be an artist, right? It used to be a dream to catch a major deal, a major record label deal, right? That put you on. You were going to make money. Granted, they're going to tax you a lot, and you might get real fucked out the deal, but that was what every artist was going for. Everybody was putting out their music for that purpose, and nowadays, people are just doing this shit on their own, man. Brand marketing themselves, booking their own tours, writing their own fucking contracts for this shit to happen. You know what I'm saying?
And it's created a whole sub-industry of people who take advantage of that.
Tell me more about that.
You know, back when we were doing anything, I remember us being approached by someone who said, if we gave we gave him $5,000, he could get us a meeting with Jay-Z. Absolutely. They're the people who, will, if you pay them, they organize tours. And you can pay to get on a tour. They, you know.
Buy in on the shows. Yeah, show. We've been involved in that.
I know they're taking advantage of a lot. A lot of people are not going to make it, but this feels like their opportunity. So they're going to pay you however much it takes to be on some show. Mm-hmm. That, you know.
Co-headline with the band or with the opener. I mean, with the closer.
There was something about the superhero shit I wanted to go back to. But no, okay. I know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I said mental illness, right?
Okay. Right. That's where you were. Yeah, yeah.
And the reason it makes me think that is just, I've been having this conversation with people a lot. When you go through some of the stuff that you and I have been through, and you talk to some of the people that you and I have talked to, medical professionals,
mm-hmm.
You know the questions that they ask you. You know the questions that they ask you. And you know how easy it is. Like, I have sat down with so many, you know, doctors or psychiatrists or therapists or whatever, and they're asking you questions because they're trying to diagnose what the fuck is wrong with you that got you in front of them in the first place.
Right.
And the questions are so fucking see-through. Like, they ask you stuff like, do you think you have special powers? Do you think you, like, they ask you these questions. And I know that if I say yes, now I'm schizophrenic, and now that's the medication that they're going
to
put me on.
What if your answer was, yeah, I have a special power. It's the ability to hope and love beyond all measures, which keep me here today. How do you think they would respond? What would you do to that if you were a practitioner?
I think you'd get what I do,
yeah.
I may understand that because I understand what that person may or may not have been trying to say. I think in the situations that I've been in, had I said something along those lines, I would have just been put on a milder version of whatever medication they were going to put me on if I told them I was Spider-Man. I know better than to say. There are
people that can go around claiming being Bloodsport.
And these people are also.
They're just marksmen, bro.
There's a difference between being a marksman and being bluff. Like, have you ever watched any of them videos where like actual snipers? Like grade movies.
And they
talk about like how.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you all, I wouldn't have taken that shot, or this didn't make sense, or that didn't make sense. Like, there's a difference between being a marksman, there's a difference between being a gymnast or whatever and thinking you can jump off
versus
a building.
Being Spider-Man.
Being Spider-Man.
Side note about the marksman shit. I was out playing.
Airsoft,
right, yeah. Bro. And this dude with an airsoft rifle caught me from I don't know how far away. He could barely see me. I was in the brush. Tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. I started moving. Tat-tat-tat. Boom. I was shooting at him first. I saw him. But I had it like he had a souped up deal, bro. Like he is an avid airsoft tech. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm shooting at him and he pulls a few off at me and he catches me. And I'm like, hit! You know, I'm screaming and I'm good and I'm trying to climb out this bush. Oh, at that moment, I couldn't because we have 3 lives. We can be revived by our medic. After the game was up, though, we introduced ourselves to one of his name is Ray. He's actually on YouTube doing all this like airsoft video stuff. And Jamie's supposed to be in one of the videos from that day that we were there. But he was like, hey, man, that was pretty cool, bro. I was like, what are you talking about? Your shot? That was pretty cool. He was like, nah, the fact that you were honest about that, man, that was a good call. A lot of people wouldn't be honest about taking that hit from that distance. I was like, bro, you fucking shot me and it hurt. I was hit. There was no way around it.
Right. But see, you have the understanding of knowing that was airsoft, that you got hit by an airsoft pellet and it hurt. And so I'm sure you understand that you can't drop
bullet.
Me. Yeah, you can't drop me in Afghanistan or some shit, and I feel like I can pull off, I can be right in line with them dudes because I played an airsoft game.
So like, the soldiers that were there, who part of the U.S. military on Fort Hood, they'd gone on to mention, actually, it was the owner, who's a retired soldier. He'd mentioned that this is the closest to real life battle that you could find. And yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Like, we're talking about two different things. But bro, when I was in there and when they were trying to take our last objective, dog, we were holding that fort down.
I'm telling you, man. Like I
killed Jamie. I'm sorry, baby. I killed her at that point. And my son Roman. I'm sorry.
Understand, like, what you're able to do, the decisions that you're able to make when you know you can't die.
Yeah.
Are different than the decisions that you're able to make when if I stick my head up right now, I might catch a.
Mind blown. We were superheroes on that field that day because we couldn't die. So how long we been running, man?
Are we understanding realism at this point?
Yeah, I think those superheroes were very real. They died. I think it was the best superhero film.
I just don't understand.
I guess I've been used to Marvel, bro. Like Marvel, you can't die.
They can die, but have you seen the Loki series? Loki's a god.
So he thought until he got into his new world.
He's still a god. Like he's a god. I haven't watched the thing, but Loki's a god. Like we can't compare Loki. Or Thor, or to Polka Hulk, Dot Man, to Polka Dot Man,
or the Walking Catcher. Shark,
or the. What I don't understand about your whole stance on this is we're talking about a movie with a walking shark.
Do you know who played the shark?
And in the same sentence, you're using Sylvester the term,
Stallone.
In the same sentence, you're using the term. This was the most realistic.
You not know, the most realistic, J-Dot. Listen, it's not the. Yeah, it was like this was. The most like real human that I've seen, and I don't mean the fucking walking shark, J-Dot, or the guy that's got a galactic virus, but I mean the fact that these people weren't flying, they weren't lifting up buildings. You know what I'm saying? They weren't fucking like punching the shit out of something and causing a sonic boom with it.
When you are in a building that's collapsing and you somehow
I don't know how that works.
And
for him.
Somehow stand in the exact right spot that
where
you
it
go
falls
through
three tiers down,
several tiers down. Like that's you don't have superpowers.
It's a movie, Jared.
Exactly.
And in this movie, so they there's nothing made these real about it. More real,
no,
to human form than did the Marvel. Creators.
They wouldn't be in a jail. Polka Dot Man wouldn't be in some jail, you know.
Why was he in jail? Do we know why they were arrested? His was probably busting a dot. He had too many dots to bust. He had to do them at least two times a day.
This is my point about the whole idea of realism. Like, so how is it that Harley Quinn can end up in jail and can't get out, but she can fucking... run through a presidential palace.
Did you see how she handled that dude when she was on those chains? She was like,
"Yeah,
bro, she did that." I don't know nobody that can contort like that.
Exactly. But did you? Exactly.
Somebody did that. Somebody did that for the movie. They had an acrobat bend their body that way up there to put their toe into the rock
after being hit with a cattle prod.
Right. I don't know how many times. I counted at least eight.
Come on, man. Come on.
I'll tell you this much, bro. The mind is a motherfucking beast, dog. And if she was crazy enough, she could take them jolts. And if she still had enough life in her and she could still breathe, she might have still been like, spit on somebody. You know what I mean? I don't know about bending up. Because there are some things that the body just can't rebound from
and
like
then
that
putting
quickly.
On some boots and you know running through the thing
right.
with a javelin and all kinds of shit.
To all of that naysay from J-Dot, I say that the Suicide Squad 2 movie was a great fucking movie. Made me feel good. I even cried at times. That's got to do with recovery, though, bro.
I worry about you sometimes, bro.
You don't need to.
I do.
If I'm not crying, then you need to worry.
That's my superpower.
That, your worry?
My empathy, yeah.
That's why I was crying.
For those motherfuckers?
Get the fuck out of here. Get off my show! He's like, this is my show.
For these motherfuckers? Who the fuck is Polka Dot Man?
Well...
So I guess you're a comic book guy, right?
My time collecting. Yeah, I did.
Were you how many of these people were you familiar with, other than Harley Quinn and Waller, and
who's
maybe
Waller?
Flag. Waller is the black lady. Is Viola Davis?
Oh yeah.
And Flag, Colonel Flag. How many of these other people were you like?
The white guy.
Peacemaker.
Nope, the other white guy. that was on the first team with the hyena. He was the leader for the first team.
That's how much I care about
it. Can't remember.
It's so irrelevant.
But you had to have been a comic person to like these folks, bro. You know what I mean? You had to have known the universe. You had to have known.
It was a good movie.
That shit. Wait.
But realism.
Wait. Let's go on a grade. A 1 to 5. How good was it?
Three.
You can go to 4. Nah, you breathe 4.
I was going to say 4, but
you honestly, stick with it.
No, I'm not going to stick with it because I honestly didn't even like. I was like playing Sudoku at the same time I was watching the movie and like missing pieces and jumping back.
You know how many
in.
Times? You know how long it took me to get to that movie?
How much?
Started it last night with Jamie. I was like, I'm about to fall out. I can't do this. Killed it. Started it today. I don't know. It was probably a total like over the course of a cumulative 4.5 hours, and the movie's only 2.5 hours long. But that's just because being here is a different thing. Like, I can't just sit down. It's part of my brain. I can't just sit down and watch a movie like that all the way through. I don't feel. Maybe I can. I don't know. TV's for sleeping.
That's why I watch YouTube. Anyway. I don't know. That's all I got. It was a pretty good week. Versus was dope. I'm in a creative space. I want to do some things. I'm almost done with this theme music for my homies podcast. I'm going to redo my theme music. Might drop a verse on that. And who knows? I might do the Jadakiss and do Dad Bob mixtape volume 1.
Whoop.
You know. Who knows?
Drop that thunder, bro.
The moment I try to write
Mongolian beef
is when it don't work. Like I can be out in the world on the bus, at work or whatever, writing the hottest verses you ever heard in your life. The moment I sit down and turn a beat on.
So keep your Samsung Note on you, bro. You know, yeah, the notes.
I got bars in there.
So when that happens, just start jetting it down and start piecing them together. I don't think that I've ever been able to write one whole song just from one whole song. I've just got a lot of different things that I've written that I've put together that I will continue to string together. You know what I mean? You put enough pages down in a notebook, put enough lines down on the paper, you'll have enough substance.
Podcasting has taught me like the drive I have. We talked about my goal this year being, you know, not to miss a week, 52 episodes.
How much you got left? How many more months are we at? We're coming up on September, yeah, October, November, December.
We're mid-August.
You got 13, 14 more weeks.
Yeah. And so, the fact that I see that I can, like, focus enough to get this done every week and do it and put it out every week, it just shows me that as far as rap, I wasn't there. It wasn't. You couldn't tell. I mean,
is it because you just, when you do write, don't think what you write is good enough? Or what? Because I bet you, like, you could write a song tomorrow.
Because, I mean, and that is, it's a weird thing. Because in a lot of things, I'm a perfectionist. And I want perfection. But I'm 200. This is episode 214. There ain't a perfect one in the lot. You know. But that don't stop me from putting out 215. Like, I just knock these things out. Do them. Sometimes I look forward to doing it. I look forward to putting it out. Imperfect as it is.
One a week. That's not a bad idea. One instrumental, one song a week.
That's your goal?
I just now might become, but damn. We'll see.
All right, we're about an hour and a half in. We can close it up. I'm doing my normal calls to actions. Zaya Fitness. If you're looking for way, if you're trying to be, trying to get into just, Harley Quinn shape.
He's just texting me right now. That motherfucker is Harley Quinn in the dude's form.
If you're trying to be in Harley Quinn shape, if you're trying to be, not, please don't try to be a superhero. But if you want to look
now
like
fuck
one.
Fuck that. Go and be a superhero.
Don't, you motherfuckers don't listen to what MF says. Please don't. He said the sentence, the realest superhero movie I've ever seen. Them two words should never be in the same sentence.
I think I said
the most realistic superhero,
humanistic realism. Yeah, because again, they weren't fucking perfect. These motherfuckers died.
It's on the thing because they didn't have
you're
superhero.
To a conversation that wasn't on the DAP, bro. We was downstairs.
It's on there. It's on there.
What you're trying to quote was downstairs.
No, we'll
humanistic
play it back.
Realism.
We'll play it back.
Run that.
We'll play it back when this is over. But yeah, don't be like MF. Don't do it. If you want to look like a superhero, hit up my man, Zaya Fitness. He can get you your nutrition right, get your body right, He can do it for you. He's the man. ZAYAH Fitness on Instagram.
If but you just remember, though, you have to do that tomorrow, too, though.
If you're looking for ways to be, to have the impact that a superhero might have, you're trying to change the world, if you feel like you have obligations to do for people, ttcharities.org. Hit them up. They always got something important going on, a drive going. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. Definitely a way that you could be a superhero. ttcharities.org. And if you want to be my superhero, you can hit up the whatistws.com merch store. Purchase some shirts. You can, like, I don't know, you can call it your superhero costume. I don't care. For the algorithm, I share because I care.
That's some superhero shit right there.
Stay grateful. Bunch of dope shit. Bunch of dope shirts. My mom just called me and asked me to send her another shirt. So I'm going to do that. So mom is repping. You can rep too. Whatistws.com. Hit up the store. Buy a shirt. Help me take Chef Elise to Disney World. But yeah, other than that, I appreciate you listening. If you made it through this entire hour and a half of randomness, you are the real MVP. And until we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy, and I love y'all.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.